So this morning's readings are a little bit of a kick in the pants, not exactly all rainbows and sunshine. Our first reading from the prophet Jeremiah gives this sort of very pitiful moment in Jeremiah's life where he's pretty much left for dead at the bottom of a muddy well. That stinks. And then we go on to the letter to the Hebrews, and the author gives this very earnest exhortation saying, all things that encumber us from the life of grace and from perfection in God, we have to let go of those. We have to rid ourselves of those things, even to the point of shedding your blood. This is how serious it is, he states. And in the gospel, Jesus giving very direct words. Do you think that I have come to bring peace? No. No, you're very mistaken if you think that I've come to bring peace. Jesus says, I don't come to bring peace, I come to bring division. Whew. So what's going on? What's going on in today's readings? It reminds me of an experience that I recently had when I was praying with someone about a month ago. This person had related a recent experience that they had with sort of members in their group of people. And this particular group of people was doing some destructive behavior, and it was bringing, of course, a lot of havoc and frustration into this particular person's life. And they were just like, man, I don't know what to do about this, but I know this is really affecting me. And I said, well, let's pray about it. And so we were praying. And after we prayed, I related to this person. I said, you know, when we were praying, I saw an image in my mind that God gave. And it was an image of this great golden-hued sky filled with light. Beautiful. It was really beautiful. And I said, next to that, below this really golden-hued sky, was this vast array of pointed mountaintops. And I said, but there was something really funny about the vision, because all of the mountains in this vision were deep and dark blues and grays and blacks. And I said, as much as this, I saw the sun shining and filling the whole sky, it did not in the slightest bring light to the mountains. I said, it's really strange, because right in the, if we were to walk outside and go to your nearest neighboring mountain range and you were to watch the sunrise, you would watch the sunshine actually light up everything in its path. But I said, this is what was so fascinating, is that as we prayed, I saw this great light, I saw this great image of God's grace and God's goodness, and yet it did not actually shine upon what was below. What was below remained in darkness. And I think for me that was a great and clear lesson about the difference, the true difference between what is holy and what is evil. And that truly what is holy and what is evil have absolutely no part with each other, period. There is no intermingling. There is no peace between what's good and what's evil. And there can't be. And when Jesus comes to his ministry, when he comes to minister to us and to our souls, he's very, very clear on this point. He says, I do not come to bring peace to this world. Why? Because Jesus knows that the world, right, for this time of human history, is given over to evil. It's given over to the reign of Satan. And Jesus has zero part with that whatsoever. And he does not come to bring peace treaties with evil. Jesus says, I come to draw lines. I come to make clear distinctions so that everyone is very well aware who is on which side, because we cannot straddle the line. Perhaps this is why, you know, the author to the book of Hebrews is so very insistent. He says, whatever encumbrance of sin you have, do not be afraid even to shed your blood if that's what it takes for you to get rid of it, because I tell you, you can have zero part with that. What happens when we allow those sort of things in our lives to linger? Well, it's a little bit like being Jeremiah, and you just kind of get tossed down into the cistern, and how long do you survive there? Not very long, right? It becomes kind of a hopeless endeavor. There's no such thing as being kind of in the well. You're either in the cistern or you're out. But if you're in, there's no such thing as being in such a way that, oh, it's fine, I'll just fly out of here. Yeah, let me know how that works for you. Flap your arms really hard, right? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And so the fire that Jesus comes to bring, of course, is the fire, the gift of his Holy Spirit, which burns away from your hearts and from my heart everything within us that Jesus has no part in. And it must. This can be an overwhelming or sometimes maybe we feel like a tiring sort of conversion. Because this can be the way that the Lord works in our life of faith. I know that this is an experience that I often have. At least this is kind of my story. Maybe this is something that you share in your own life of faith where God is extraordinarily persistent, right? He's urgent in the same way that Jesus is urgent here in the Gospels. And the Lord says, all right, take this step. And you're like, all right, I took the step. He's like, all right, now take the next step. And you're like, okay, take the next step. And he's like, all right, now take the next step. And you're like, all right, now take the next step. God, I'm stepping. Do you not see me? I'm stepping. And the Lord's like, I know, keep stepping. And I'm like, give me a second. I just stepped. And he's like, I know, take the next one. And I'm like, I need a break. And he's like, there's no time. Right? It can be extraordinarily disconcerting or frustrating or full of anxiety where when we enter into a life of grace, it almost seems like God is very desirous to push us along and to invite us and in fact to sort of like really expose to us the closer we come to grace, like just how much more we need it and just how much more we need it. We can feel instead of like we're taking our own steps, we can feel like, you know, like mom and dad getting a child out the door. All right, a child knows how to walk, but we all know how fast a child wants to walk. And mom and dad says, no, we got to get out the door. We got places to be. This is the truth about life. Right, in life, we don't get a pause button. There is no moment where we get to say, I can delay the coming. I can delay the end, because we don't know when that end is going to be. What we do know is that Jesus very much demands us to be ready, and that demand comes from a heart of great and tender love. The reason that the Lord is so insistent with you and so insistent with me about the fact that evil has no place is because as we are illumined by the light of the Holy Spirit, we begin to see more and more evil for what it truly is. And not only in the household of our relationships, even our most intimate of relationships, our family relationships, but also, right, the relationships among it within the our own house, within our own hearts, right? These places of division with our own hearts. And the more that we bring the light of the Holy Spirit in, the Lord says, all right, well, let's take a look at the basement. And you're like, yeah, it's fine. It's just a fishing pond down there. And he's like, no, that's not a fishing pond. Your sewage pipe's actually backed up. Crap. Now, if that happened in your house, how long would it take you to fix that? You know, none of us would say, yeah, I'll get to it next week. We would say, no, man, I need to call the plumber yesterday. And here's the truth. It really doesn't matter how much is down there. Man, if you got 4 feet worth down there, you're in big trouble. But is it okay if you have 1 foot down there? What if you just had 3 inches worth down there? What if it was just in the corner? I mean, there is absolutely no amount of backed up junk that we would want in any part of our house. And if it were there, we would get rid of it right now, right? It's obvious. We have no part whatsoever with that in our house. It has no place. You know, I'm sorry for the graphic image, but it really, I hope, gives us a sense of like the same thing is true in our lives of faith. That when God looks upon us and God says, I just need you to know that this is a struggle you have and this is a sin that you have and take a step and take a step and take a step and we're like, God, I'll get to it. And he's like, well, get to it already. It's in the basement, man. It's not. What if you had kids? Would you just let your kids go down there and play? Would you let people come into your house and see that? No. That's obvious, right? It's true for all of us. But there's great beauty. There's really great beauty in grace, and even in the urgency of the life of conversion for us. And I think a phenomenal image, right, for the fire that Jesus comes to bring is the image that God revealed even in the Old Testament in the life of Moses, the one that we all know, where God comes to Moses and God says, you are going to begin to take new steps in your life. It's going to be different. There is a kind of evil in the heart and the experience of your people that they are no longer going to be a part of. I'm going to move them away from that. And when God comes to reveal this plan, he does so with Moses by giving this beautiful supernatural sign, which is a fire that burns but does not consume the goodness of what's present. Moses is what Moses is so extraordinarily, like, is unbelievable to him, as he says, this is amazing. The bush burns, but it's not consumed. This is the way that conversion looks for us. It can be an extraordinarily scary thing to think about. Well, I don't want to be on fire. Who wants to be burned? Nobody. But the burning of the Lord, right, is a burning that actually retains within us everything that is good, so that we don't have to be afraid of the drunk in the basement that is high time to get rid of. Light has no place whatsoever with the darkness, and that cannot even be mingled in our own lives. It's an oxymoron for us to be able to think that it's okay for us to simply, like, straddle the line. I'm going to have 1 foot here, and I'm going to have 1 foot here. As long as I'm, like, mostly on this side, it's okay, right, Jesus? What if Jesus said, well, it was most, I came to save the sins of most people, and that's good enough, right? I came to give my love to just about everybody. I mean, that's enough, right? The Lord didn't do that. Jesus was completely all in for every single soul, and he had no place with evil. And so neither should we. Even if it makes us feel like the Lord might be urgent with us, and he makes us feel tired on our journey of faith, and we're like, God, whew, I need a breather. And he's like, ask me for the energy. I'll give it to you. You can find rest even as you move. This is how my grace works. Because as we are set on fire, we will see the urgency. We're like, man, I got to get to church on Sunday. This is a no-brainer part of my life. Like, I need this. Man, I got to pray today. There's no time for me not to. No, I have to find a way to ask God to help me to forgive this poison of unforgiveness. Like, it's killing me. It's junk in the basement. I can't get rid of it next week. Let's be encouraged, not afraid of the fire of God's Spirit, which comes to take away from us everything that is meant to have no part in our hearts. We ought never to make a deal with the devil. In any sense, in any indirect or direct way, by any place especially of rest or sloth. No, it's high time for conversion every day. That's the best news of our lives. And Jesus says, as he always says in the scriptures, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's okay. One step at a time. But keep moving.